Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, and it's his fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dana, hopefully you poured yourself something delicious.
Yes, yes. Good old-fashioned water.
Nice.
Yeah.
With or without ice?
Oh, without.
Yeah. Ooh, not on the rocks. You're taking your water neat, as they would say in Scotch and Bourbon land.
I like this. So that's how I'm going to ask for my water now when neat. I go to the restaurants. I want my water on the rocks, please.
Well, you would if you want ice, but if you don't have ice, you just go, I'll take my water neat.
What my water needs.
Yeah, because if you ask, like, you know, I'd like an 18-year-old Balvenie scotch, you just say, I'd like an 18 Balvenie. You don't even say the word year. So you say 18 Balvenie, and then they would ask, would you like ice with that? No, I'll take it neat.
I'll take it neat, please. But I want to say it in my fancy voice. I'll take it neat, please.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you ask for your water, throw the waiter off and go, I'll take that neat.
I'll take that neat, please.
Exactly. Yes. Or you can do the Meg Ryan thing and ask for the ice on the side.
Ice on the side. Okay. Right? We could do that too.
If you did not get that reference, please write into the show at wbcisfa@gmail.com. If you got that reference, you know the movie Harry Met Sally, When Harry Met Sally.
Uh-huh. Right? And it's so funny you mentioned that because I've been binge watching Scrubs.
Okay.
Are you a fan?
Saw the whole show when it was out. Yes. Okay. All, including the newer cast members until they, you know, of course, jumped the shark and had to kill the show.
Yeah. It's amazing how good shows fizzle out like that. But that's a whole other conversation for a whole other show.
Well, though. You know, you have to remember at that point, you know, the lead characters, Donald Faison, had kind of moved on to some other things. I mean, again, he started with, you know, one of the best movies ever.
Clueless.
Right? Just one of the best movies ever. And then who's the other guy? Is it not Zach, is it? No. I can't think of who the other
character.
In Scrubs. But, you know, he went on to be, you know, Mr. Independent Filmmaker.
Yes.
Right? He made Garden State and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that show, unfortunately, you know, you could replace those two with some other characters, but sometimes you lose the heart of the show.
So. Yeah, you do. I'm trying to look up his last name.
Yeah,
I want to get it right.
I know.
It is. You're right. It is. It's Zach. Let's see.
Is Dana?
But yeah. But what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
is,
yeah. Tell me more here.
So one of the episodes I was watching is when Donald Faison's character is about to get married.
Okay.
And he needs to write his vows. Having a hard time, right? So his fiance's brother, they don't get along. They actually hate each other. But he's a fan of When Harry Met Sally. So he tricks Turk is the character's name. Yes. So he tricks Turk. He tells him, I'll help you, and he writes his vows, but it's what Harry tells Sally at the end, you know. I like when you do this. I like when you do this. Mm-hmm. I like it when you do this. And it's hilarious. You guys should watch it.
I remember that episode well. Yes.
Yeah, Zach Braff. There we go. I wanted to make sure I said his last name right.
Yes, yeah. His last name is the tough one.
But yeah.
Good stuff. So yeah, that show, yeah, very interesting back in the day.
Uh-huh.
When it was
You know, it ages well. It never gets old.
No.
Yeah.
No, because luckily it wasn't a timely thing. It wasn't political or nothing like that. Your characters were your characters. You know, John C. McGinley is a chief resident doctor dude.
Oh, yeah.
Always the hard ass. But, of course, a soft spot somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. And then the guy who played the janitor.
Yeah, yeah, the actor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now you saw the episode where Zach Braff's character was watching the movie The Fugitive, right?
Yeah, and he's in there. Yeah.
And he's in there, uh-huh. and he's like yeah. trying to put things together. It's kind of confusing. Yeah. It's one of those things.
It's a good one. That's a good episode, too.
Yeah. So other than TV and what's going on there, anything big on your weekend? Anything big this coming week?
Not really, you know.
Normal work week coming up?
Yeah, pretty much normal week, you know. Getting ready for the holidays, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe we're already, you know, in the second week of October, man.
I know.
It's flying.
I know. It's that time of year, people, we don't wait now until right after Thanksgiving to do shopping. You can do it anytime. Anytime.
Yeah.
You know, what's another couple? You know, if anything, it's probably going to be easier on some people with kids because mm-hmm. what's just another 4 or 5 Amazon boxes or
Mess.
Another couple boxes in the hallway?
Dennis, speaking of Amazon, I don't know. I didn't know they did this mm-hmm. or maybe I never paid attention. We got a catalog from them in the mail.
Really?
Yes, but it's specifically for toys.
For kids. Well, you have to consider, you know, we're of an age that we remember the JCPenney catalog Christmas.
And what was the other one? The
Sears had one.
Not the Sears one. My mom used to order it from it all the time. Oh my gosh.
Not the Hammock or Schlemmer. The Sharper Image.
No, not Sharper. No. Come on.
I don't know. JCPenney, I guess, remember being was the big one. And as one
yeah, it
of,
was. I do remember that one.
And
too.
I remember the fight because, you know, as when we were preteens, you know, young kids, I have 3 brothers, the fight over the catalog. Mm-hmm. So my mom, you know, in some years when it got too bad, would have to literally go to the local JCPenney and plead with them for like 3 more catalogs so that we all had our own.
Oh, okay. Smart woman.
Because some of us were wired a little different and weirder, and this was pre-Post-it note era and stuff like that. So you'd be, you know, dog-earing corners of pages, and bringing out highlighters or pens, and circling the 75 things you wanted for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
All of them more expensive than the one thing you would ever get. But yes, I remember those days. But you got a catalog from Amazon.
Man, whoa. So do I.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, but it's not nothing like back in the day, like with JCPenney's or anything like that.
Okay.
But it's it outlines all the popular toys or toys you might want to consider buying your kids this holiday.
And it's probably smart for them to send it out earlier than later so that people will get in on it and not get bum rushed at the end and go, oh no, that popular toy, I waited till December 17th and there's no way to get it.
And there's no way to get it. Yeah. You don't want to be stuck like that.
No.
Uh-huh. I'm going to confess something to you and to everybody listening to this podcast. Uh-oh. So I know you're familiar with The Mandalorian, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you know how when Baby Yoda or the child, when his character was introduced, how he broke the internet, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. So so me and Dara, you guys, Dara is one of our student workers. We lost our minds. Like we scoured the interweb to look for anything we could of this beautiful little character.
Uh-huh.
So cute. And I would say maybe weeks later, we start seeing like different toy companies like launch their version of him.
Okay.
Like a doll version, right?
Sure.
So we went buck wild. It is. So I bought one from Walmart.
Okay.
And no, mind you, this is back like in January, February.
Yeah.
And it would tell you, okay, you know, toy, you know, scheduled to release in November.
Wow.
March.
Wow.
So the one I got in from Walmart, that one actually came, I want to say March, April, May, maybe like June.
Okay.
Or July. That came in July. I actually gave it to Dara, but I ordered another one, an animatronic one.
Okay.
By Harboro. That one is coming in, I think, in November or December. But I ordered that thing back in January.
Ah, Dana. My goodness. Wow.
So, yeah. So, like you're saying, yeah, you got to hop on this stuff while it's hot.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of, you know, just where we're in middle of right now, which is, you know, our show title that we'll post out on the pod, all the different pod venues that you guys find us will be the five seasons: spring, summer, fall, reporting,
yes,
and winter, because you have to jump on the reporting season.
Oh man, here we go.
Yeah, if you didn't know,
you already started.
I've got number one done, the okay. Phys app. So that's our federal report. If you do federal work study and a federal supplemental educational opportunity grant, or FSEOG for short, if you do those two, and if you still are rolling around on a Perkins loan account, you have to do this Phys app every year. You have to report out what you spent last year. You make your request for the next year. It's kind of like an all-in-one thing. So we're lucky in our district. Most of the hard work is done by our accounting people, but I just got that one off. Just had the president sign it yesterday, because you still, again, this is the federal government. They're not quite up on the Adobe signing stuff and all, you know, any fancy platform stuff.
Yeah.
So he signed it in ink, waiting for probably my boss to get the campus and throw it in an envelope and send it out in the mail. You've got till November 2nd, everybody. Normally it's like October 1st. It's got to be out in the mail. But with all the COVID stuff, they moved it back a month. So
sweet.
It's all done. We spent our money. No penalties.
That's a good thing.
We even, you're supposed to spend, I think it's at least 7% on community service.
Okay.
And I was very happy to see that not just our school, but most of them in our district, were still able to hit that target.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it worked out well. But that's just one report. Then, for all our community college friends out there in California, we have the SARC report, which is SSARCC. It's the summary of your spending of institutional funds on the operations of the office, and your summary of spending of what we call our BFAP, which is really our SFAA, direct categorical funding from the state chancellor's office on operations. So that one I'm working on tomorrow, because again, luckily, you know, all that exists somewhere in an accounting system at the district. It's just a matter of entering it online and making sure it all matches up. So we'll get that done. And then
there's more.
There is more.
Okay.
For the last few years, and hopefully going forward till the end of time, the chancellor's office has been giving the financial aid offices in the community colleges here in California some financial aid technology money. And so every year we have to report out how we spent that.
I see.
Just so you know, Dana, it's not going to you. Your whole tech setup is all your own, I guess.
Oh, no, I don't get a little something like a check or something in the mail?
No, like most districts, when we got this funding, a significant portion of it goes to pay for some of those back-end software packages we do to do like online forms and things like that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And those things, you know, cost a lot of money, but they do so much. That's where most of ours goes. And then I had to report out the final student success completion grant spending for last year, another chancellor's office item. And what else do I have? One other report. Our student aid commission, in order to do Cal grants, they have to have, you know, estimates of costs at the schools. So we have to do a college cost estimate for the next school year and get that off by the end of the month. So if you didn't have enough to do on your plate, everybody, now you know what you can do for fun. Work on your reports. That's pretty much what most of my week will be here, because most of them are doing it at the end of the month, but some of these still need signatures.
Yeah.
I think the state will take the Adobe signatures. So that might,
because they're time stamped. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it might simplify some things for me.
But you got to figure it out, though, like you said. Oh, gotta goodness. Figure this out.
Yes, I do. So, Dana, we're right at the midpoint of the show. Why don't we take a little musical interlude and come back for a second cup?
And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a little refill before we hit the news.
My water neat. Yes, my water neat, please.
Yes, keep your water neat. So a couple news items here we've got going. CSAC, the California Student Aid Commission, released a special alert, GSA 2020-39. Announcing the launch of the Race to Submit campaign for the 2021-2022 application year. The Race to Submit, this is that online dashboard that helps track the number of FAFSA and CADA, our California Dream Act applications completed by the senior classes at the high schools that participate in the campaign. Tracking numbers from October 1st through March 2nd, which again is that's the deadline for Cal Grant consideration, will be updated on a weekly basis regarding the submission and completion rates and the number of apps that are matched up to the GPAs. Because again, all the high schools send in their GPA information so that the last number they can figure out also here is the number of Cal Grants that are being offered out to students. So for our high school friends out there, for more information on that, contact California Student Aid Commission at schoolsupport@csac.ca.gov. It's a great program. And again, a lot of our local high schools, Dana, including Granada Hills Charter High School, tend to be in that top five pretty well as far as percentage of the senior class doing FAFSAs and Dream Acts. So that's always good news.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know, this week in the California Community College is Undocumented Student Action Week. Community colleges across the state are planning events to ensure our undocumented students know of campus resources, including how to apply for state financial aid through the California Dream Act application, or CADA.
Yeah, that's another great project going on throughout the state. Uh-huh. I think you've seen the emails from our people.
Yeah, from our chancellor. Yes.
So we want to make sure our undocumented students in the community colleges, again, know what's going on. How to get tied in. Again, most of us have some kind of functioning Dream Resource Center, even remotely.
Yes.
That helps them with issues on campus. And the big thing is, you know, I think it was 2011, 2012, when beyond just the AB 540 law that allowed our undocumented students to pay the in-state rate for tuition, we opened up through law the state aid programs. So we've got Cal Grants, middle-class scholarships. I think that came along a little later, actually. And then also our CCPG, or our old fee waiver, under a new name, is all available to our undocumented students. So definitely get in on that. Don't hold yourself back. I've got a little bit of news. Let's see here. We have an outage alert here. The federal student aid people posted out a message last week that the IRS data retrieval tool will be unavailable on Friday, October 23rd, from 1 to 5 a.m. Eastern time. So work that back a little bit. That'd be 10 p.m. on Thursday to 2 p.m. on, or 2 a.m. Friday morning. So the IRS is completing some system upgrades. I assume they're moving, knowing the IRS, from Windows 95 to maybe Windows 7.
I mean,
it's funny because I go to, you know, you go to these conferences sometimes, and I remember someone at the Department of Ed actually saying, when they talked about the data retrieval tool, just trying to get it going. Because again, this was a topic since I've been in financial aid about, oh, someday we're going to be able to do this. And it literally was a case of our computers at the Department of Ed are so much more advanced than the IRS. I mean, it was just the funniest thing. So
So you're not just throwing shade. It's real. They like, it's like, real. We need to do this. They yeah. have,
and again, no matter how much money apparently we've invested in the okay. IRS over the years and new computer systems, I don't doubt that they're getting close to Windows 7. I or if they're even on Windows, who knows?
Oh boy. So, yeah, but, oh goodness.
So at least if you were planning to work on your FAFSA, Dana, or anyone else out there, okay. Sometime late Thursday through Friday morning, you will either need to hand enter your income information because the data retrieval tool will not be available, or I would say just wait off till Saturday. Why rush things?
Why do that?
Yeah.
Hey, and who says financial aid news can't be sexy? Here's one that came through the daily IFAP email we received. It's time again to make your annual confirmation of TG numbers. That's for your SAI Gmail boxes and electronic service user accounts. This is where all the financial aid directors need to confirm the staff in their office will confirm that your staff remain eligible to use the many federal student aid systems that includes NSLDS, COD, and more. Just keep in mind, you have to do this before the December 11th deadline. We will include a link to the FSA announcement in our show notes.
Yeah, this is a super fun project every year.
don't we like kind of remind you of this?
Oh, yes.
We have one particular staff member that, yes. you know, is on you on for this one.
I have one. Yes, we have one staff member that reminds me of this. And because this is the later one in the year. This is December. There's uh-huh. the one from the Student Aid Commission that over the summer has to do with renewing my access before like August 1st, maybe, in order for the staff all to be renewed for access to web grants. Mm-hmm. Through the Student Aid Commission. So usually it's not a problem unless I have to get a signature. Like even this year, I still had to get signatures and stuff. So uh-huh. of course, what I thought was going to be completely on time ended up like a day or two late. And boy, did I hear it from others.
Oh yeah, you got an earful, didn't you?
Yeah. So people, if I'm telling you anything, don't run late on this stuff.
Don't. Do
that, you know, confirmation of TG numbers. And again, it's a good time also to clean up in case you've had staff come or go. You'll see what services they have. And again, you know, you can remove those who you forgot to remove because it doesn't just happen. You know, if one of your staff leaves, you have to remember to always unassign them to NSLDS and COD access and stuff like that. Because only your internal systems are maybe automated. You know, like if someone leaves our district, there's some part of the process that takes them out of our student information system access and all. But this stuff, this is all federal, people. You know, don't go messing with it too much there. Otherwise, they'll lose their access and then it's so much more work.
Oh, man.
I can tell you. Dana, let's take another short musical interlude here and then we'll head into our last part of the show. And of course, that is our short little musical interlude so that we can get right into our last part, our last sip segment. And on a morning like this, I need that second sip there.
You need that? Yes, we do. We really both do.
Yeah.
Especially you and your reports.
Yes, I know, right?
Uh-huh. So are you having your water on the rocks or are you going to have it neat?
I'm having my iced tea this morning.
Oh, excuse me. Iced tea.
Sweetened and neat. Okay.
Sweetened and neat.
I should say right out of the plastic bottle.
Taking it to the head, huh?
That has no cachet, though, does it? It has no value there. So, Dana, we're normally in that last part of the segment. We got an extra minute or two. Any I dare you two parts from you in this time of day?
Yes, I do. So, yeah. You know, we do our little pre-show to get ready for the shenanigans, uh-huh. right? So, I know, Dennis, you are into the whole true crime, like you read all your books and everything, but you haven't watched True Crime.
No, I haven't. No.
So I need you to watch. I'm going to dare you, and all the listeners too. If you haven't watched True Crime, at least you need to watch season one. Okay. Binge that.
Now, that's the one with Matthew McConaughey?
Uh-huh, and Woody Harrelson.
And Woody Harrelson. Okay, okay. Uh-huh,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not dissing on any of the other seasons, but I think others have done that for us.
Yeah.
As far as some of the other seasons may not have lived up to all the hype of the first one.
Now, okay. And I had mentioned this before. I haven't watched season three with Marshalla Ali, but for sure you have to, at least season one. I mean, okay. It is phenomenal.
I will say, Dana, my true crime, other than a show like that again, it could be anywhere. For those who want to know, I'm not like into all the James Patterson and the other author stuff. My stuff tends to be the true stuff that happened in like Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I've got the five books or so, and I'll just pull one off the shelf here real quick. From Steve Hodell, I think I've mentioned him before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, former LAPD detective. I've actually met him at a book signing down in South Pasadena maybe a year or so ago when he was bringing out, I think it was the third, he did a book called The Black Dahlia Avenger. And then he did like a follow-up and a follow-up. And then he did a book called Most Evil, and he did at least one follow-up, and that might have been the book. So okay. He writes about, and for those in L.A., they've heard of the notorious murder of the 1940s of the Black Dahlia.
Yes, uh-huh.
So Steve Hodell, former LAPD detective, believes his dad did it. It's a long story, and unfortunately we don't have all the time today. And okay. So he makes a case for it in his book and continues from there. His dad was a very famous doctor, worked with the police on some underground activities and such. A very brilliant man, George Hodell, the doctor, and he contends that his dad may be the Black Dahlia killer, among other people that he thinks his dad may have killed.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. So I've got like at least three or four books on that. His Most Evil book goes into the supposition that his dad might have been actually murdered someone out in Riverside. It might be the Zodiac killer. So it goes a little deep. It goes, But he makes it, I'll say, he does make a fairly reasonable case that you can almost see that, okay, some of this might make sense.
Especially, like the connections.
Especially for our Bay Area friends up there. You know, the Zodiac killer, certainly there's plenty of other names that have probably been tossed around.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's ever figured out who did it. You know, exactly. And so we're talking, you know, we are now decades and decades into this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have yet to figure out, you know, Zodiac killer, let alone Black Dahlia. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Mysteries, the true mysteries. Yeah,
exactly. So, yes, that is my true crime world thinking for you, Dana. So you got us here to the end of the show. I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, guys, remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all What's Brewing podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And as always, you can find all episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's wbcisfaaa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean as one word.
And now you can send us feedback about the show. If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of the wonderful Dana and myself.
This has been episode number 30, recorded the morning of Tuesday, October 20th, 2020.
Have a great day.
And have a great week.